Welcome to Legendary Dads, where we wipe out myths like you can't be a successful entrepreneur and a loving present dad. We're tearing down lies about being a well-behaved dad, you know, doing what they say that you're supposed to do. We're blazing the trail to become high-performance dads, the dad who's clear where he and his family are going and why. We are laying solid foundations to become legendary dads. Oh, welcome back, everybody. It is exciting to be here again today as we explore the process and of how we are going to bring our best to our families and exploring how what we are doing is leaving a legacy for our kids and what that legacy is going to be. And I'm particularly excited today to have with me Brian Ward, who, as I was just sharing with him, it's an interesting thing because we've never met, but I feel like I know him because I've been listening to his podcast for the better part of a year and listening to how he's been helping dads. And so I'm really excited to be able to chat with him and learn a little bit more about his journey with his kids. And as a husband, and he's a proud father of two sons who are now out of school, or at least out of high school. And he is a Marine Corps vet, for which I'm very thankful. And he has been coaching for the better part of 18 years, or over 18 years, I guess, in youth basketball and high school varsity teams. And he's, as I mentioned, running his own podcast, which I found very helpful. And I'm going to encourage everybody to check that out as well. And he's been focused really on helping other dads. Like I said, is coaching dads through all kinds of situations. And part of the beauty of this is that we all have a slightly different perspective, right? And so my focus is emphasis is going to be a little different than Brian's. And so I love that he's willing to network and work together and share the word together. And all of our listeners basically get to benefit from all these different perspectives. So welcome so much, Brian. Welcome so much. Well, thank you so much and welcome to the show. And
thank you very much, Kevin. I appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah. As I say, it's exciting. And I like meeting people, and I know you do too. So this is all part of the fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited that you've started kind of this journey of you know, your own kind of dad podcast. It's really cool. You know, raising kids and becoming better parents. I say parents because, you know, there may be moms listening to this, but yep. Raising, you know, teaching parents how to be better for their kids is, you know, it takes a village. So the more the message can get out, whether it's through, you know, various podcasts or, you know, books or just people like you talking about, you know, becoming a better parent is awesome. So I'm excited that you've started this journey.
Yeah, thanks. And glad that you're a part of that. We're all kind of supporting each other in this network of podcasting and helping dads. So that's awesome. I wanted to just head off this conversation. And I don't think this is a challenge for you specifically, but I've had a hard time in the past admitting my strengths. And so I'm going to put this to you if we can for the first to kind of launch things off here. What is one of the things, I won't necessarily the greatest or the best, but what is one of the things that you have done as a dad that you are particularly proud of, that you feel you've done well in raising your boys?
That's easy for me, Kevin. And it may not be easy for dads or, you know, or moms for that matter. But for me, it's always been, my world has revolved around my boys. I have two boys. They are 23 and my youngest is about to be 21. And my world has literally centered around them. Everything that they've done, I've been involved in. I didn't want to miss a single moment of their lives because those are moments that I'll never get back. Mm. So if I miss them, they're gone and I'll never get them back. So for me, I made sure that from the time that they were in my wife's womb, that I was attentive to them. I was focused on them. And, you know, I grew up in a household that my parents are, you know, today, to this day, they're still married over 50 years. But they were, you know, they were very hard workers and they worked a lot. And I found myself as a teenager basically raising my sister because my parents were gone. I was making dinners. I held a job. And from the age of 12, I had jobs from the age of 12 all the way, you know, till now. But it is something that from a young child, that because my parents weren't as actively involved, that I knew that when I did have a family, that I was going to do everything in my power to be involved in my kids' lives, because it's important. Kids want to see their parents involved in what they're doing. And they want to have that relationship with them and that trust with them. So for my boys, it was just something that came naturally to me. It was very easy for me to make sure that I put them first in everything, regardless of what we did. They came first. They were my priority.
Yeah, that's awesome. Glad to hear that. Your boys are very fortunate for that, no doubt.
Thank you.
Now, in the nature of where I want to go with the podcast, I want to ask you a little bit more about that, because that's awesome that you've been able to do that. And I'm wondering right away, you know, how did that work, and how much were you able to do that? Because, you know, most of us, we have a job. We can only be there certain hours. I know a little bit because of listening to your story and your podcast, but, you know, how much were you really able to be there, and how were you able to manage to spend extra time with your boys?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And, you know, for parents, it's maybe, some parents, it may be difficult. Some parents have jobs that they can't always be there for everything. For me, you know, my wife and I didn't start having kids until I got out of the military. So you know, I spent 4 years in the Marines. Shortly after I got out, we got married. And about a year, year and a half later, we started having kids. And I had a job. I was fortunate enough. I worked in corporate America, and I had a job that allowed me the flexibility to be there for my family. And to me, it was a non-negotiable. So if I was working at a company that they were not going to allow me to participate in the things that my boys did, I would have found a different job. That's how Right. important it was to me. Right. And it came to a point where I've coached for now. I just retired, actually. I should preface that I did retire about 4 months ago from coaching because I wanted to spend a little bit more time with my wife. She's been what they call a coach's widow for the last 20 years because I've been away at practices and games and things like that. But I wanted to spend a little bit more time with her. So I've hung up the whistle and decided to take a break from that. And, you know, through all my coaching years, from the time my boys were 4 years old all the way up through high school, I was able to schedule my time. And that's important, scheduling my time to be there for the events that they needed me to be there for, practices and games. And for me, the job that I worked at, there were times where I was, you know, having to be at games pretty early in the afternoon, you know, 3 o'clock games when I was coaching when they were in elementary or junior high. And I made sure that if I had to get in the office a little bit earlier so I could get the job done, and that way I could leave a little earlier to be at their practice or games, I did that. So there were some days where I was in the office at 4 a.m. And I didn't have to be there until 8, but I was in the office at 4 a.m. so I could leave by 2 so I could be there at their practices or games. So that was how important it was to me. So for parents that are trying to balance that time between work and being there for their kids, there's certain sacrifices you have to make. And I understand parents have to put food on the table. They have to provide clothing for their kids. They have to provide a roof over their head. I understand it's not going to work for everybody. Everybody's, you know, they're going to have those situations where you're not going to be able to be at everything.
Yeah.
But you got to kind of find a way to balance that. And for me, it was just sacrificing my sleep. I took away from my sleep so I could be there early in the morning at the office so I could leave earlier in the day. And I can count on one hand how many times I wasn't able to be at something. And more times than not, it was because I was at another one of my son's events. Mm-hmm. So I'd have two games going on or two practices going on, but I couldn't be at one because I was coaching the other one. Do you know what I mean? So there was those kind of situations that happened. But for the most part, it was just about scheduling my time and sacrificing in other areas, so that way I could make them a priority. And that's how it worked for me.
Yeah. And that's pretty awesome that from the beginning you were you began your job search essentially with that in mind. So that that set you up for that process throughout their schooling. So I guess for others, it's the challenge is to then say, okay, where can you, what sacrifices or what areas can you shift things and maybe shift priorities a little bit? I mean, if you got a factory job and you just got to be there for certain hours, hey, we get it. There's nothing you can do about that. But are there other areas, I guess is the question, where we might be able to make some shifts or changes to help prioritize that time, I guess?
Well, I think it comes down to figuring out what's going to work best for you and your spouse. You know, there may be things where, hey, maybe another family member can be at one of your kids' events that because you can't be there. Just making sure somebody from the family is directly there for them is what's important.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Any kind of family is better than no family.
Yeah, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, our kids, when they're playing, and whether it's, I use sports a lot because my boys, you know, they played a lot of sports through their years. So I use sports as my example. But, you know, when kids are playing in these events, whether it's games or practices, especially games, and they're looking up in the stands, they don't care about all the other fans there. They want to see their family, whether it's their parents or a grandparent or cousins, aunts and uncles, things like that. They want to see their own family there supporting them. So that was super important. And for my wife and I, it was just a non-negotiable for us.
Yeah. And as you talk about that kind of agreement on that, one of the things I think that we might sometimes overlook is that relationship. Because when we talk about being a dad, I guess we're thinking about, you know, me as a dad working with my kids and all of that. But one of the things I've become very aware of, and you just touched on it, is your relationship with your wife and the agreement there. How were you guys specifically able to, or what was some of the conversation you had around this process? Because your relationship with her obviously impacts what you're doing with your kids.
Right.
Are there some specifics that you guys sort of intentionally talked through that aided that process?
We've been really good about scheduling our weeks. And something that we still do to this day, even though our kids are grown now, we spend every Sunday evening, we take a few minutes and we talk about what the schedule is going to be this week for our family and for us. So Sunday evening, we'll spend a few minutes and I'll ask her, hey, what do you have going on this week? She'll tell me her schedule, you know, between her work and other things that she has going on. And I do the same with her. I tell her what I have planned out for this week. And we figure out in that time frame, in that week span, what time frame we're going to use for our family. So when my boys were growing up, it was, okay, we have practices on this day and this day. We got a game on this day. We need to make sure you and I, meaning my wife and I, are spending time together. So we schedule date nights, those kind of things. We did that. We do that every Sunday evening. And it, you know, for us now, because we're so used to it, it only takes a few minutes. But you know, in the beginning, it was a little bit of more juggling because our kids had a lot more stuff going on. And now that they're older and adults, you know, my younger son's away at college, my older son's, you know, working in corporate America now. So it's a little bit easier for us because now it's more about us, you know, the time that we have to spend together. Not so much focused on the boys because, you know, they're grown now. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's about us really communicating with each other and sharing what our own schedules are and then kind of figuring out from based on that, how we're going to spend the time together, the two of us or with us as a family.
Yeah. Awesome. That's an amazing process. Now I want to, if you don't mind me chatting, well, I guess you don't mind. I heard you talk about this on your podcast in terms of sort of your attitude and your approach to staying on top of your game. I understand you have a coach that you work with or have had. I'm not sure if you're still working with that coach, like a personal coach.
Well, my wife and I have a marriage coach. She's a licensed therapist. And so she helps people with difficult things, but my wife and I have been seeing this coach. We call her our marriage coach, but we've been seeing her for several years now. And we meet with her every few months or so, and we just kind of check in with each other. And it's not, I say this all the time, but it's, we don't see her because we have problems. We see her so we don't have problems.
Yeah.
So it allows us to kind of share things that are on our minds. So a lot of times we're just, you know, chit chatting. But We've been doing that for many years. So if there's parents out there that aren't doing that, I highly encourage it. Listen, we have the professional athletes have coaches. You go to the gym and you want to get in shape, typically you hire a trainer or a coach. Our kids grow up playing sports and they have coaches. So there's all these different areas where we may have a coach or a mentor in our lives. Why not have that as spouses as well? So as a husband and wife, we want to make sure our marriage stays strong and stays healthy. So that's why we have her as our marriage coach.
Yeah, well, that's a fantastic idea for sure. Preventative maintenance, as it were. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that's awesome.
Don't
That's cool.
get me wrong. We have our issues. We're normal. We're human
Yeah.
beings. We're gonna have our difficult times. But I think with that kind of that healthy approach of having a marriage coach, it kind of keeps us in check. And I've learned a lot just over the last few years. I've learned a lot from having her as our coach. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Glad to hear that. Hey, if I could shift gears a little, one of the things that's I want to kind of pick up on, because you're a dad for two boys and you're a Marine Corps vet, want to dive a little into this masculinity questions. Because I mean, probably most of us, when we think about Marine Corps, we all say, "Oh yeah, I want to be a Marine." And actually, we probably don't really want to be a Marine. I'm thinking we probably just want what we think of the glory of of that position. But the actual work and everything is another story, right?
Right.
I guess the question would be, if at all, how did that experience shape your sense of your being a man? And then how did that play into raising two boys?
Yeah, it's funny. I've had parents through the years. I've had parents say, "Hey, are your punishments like drop and give me 20?" That kind of thing. And I never took that approach with my boys. I didn't want to use those kind of things as punishments because later in life they would hate to do those things because it would just bring back, memories of them being punished and having to do push-ups. So I never did those kind of things being from the military. But as far as being a dad, the military didn't teach me anything about being a dad. The military taught me how to be a man. The military taught me how to grow up, helped me mature. The military taught me how to, obviously work ethic was huge. So I guess that kind of contributes to me being a dad a little bit. But yeah, the military, I joke about it all the time. The military taught me three things. It taught me how to cuss, taught me how to drink, and taught me how to kill. So those are the three things the military taught me, but I don't regret my time in the military. I loved it. It helped me grow up, like I said, helped me mature. And I actually encouraged my boys to go into the military. Neither one of them wanted to, and that was fine. And the other thing it did, it gave me, for me, it paid for my college. So, I mean, there's a lot of benefits to being in the military, and the fact that I served my country is something that I'm very proud of. But as far as being a dad, military didn't teach me much about that because it's more about, growing up, maturing, being a man, learning who you are. So those are the kind of things that the military taught me.
Well, so that's really interesting because they didn't teach you specifically about being a dad, which I guess isn't surprising in a sense, but you're observing that a lot of what you learned through that process, you're now sharing with your kids. The deeper question in my mind is, can you describe how it is that you were able to take what the good things that you learned and that you know and apply them well to family life versus so many I know of some personally military men who really brought their military training into family life and wasn't really good in a lot of cases. Are you aware of like what happened in you and where did you get to this point where you didn't bring that through and you were actually able to bring out the positive in that?
I had to be very careful in how I raised my boys based on, I think based on my experiences in the military. The military is very hard on not only men, but women too. It's not an easy job to do. There's a lot of things that you have to deal with. And so I had to learn to channel that because it's not something that my boys would have been able to adapt to. So those kind of experiences from the military, I had to keep those in check and learn how to keep those in check. Now, Don't get me wrong. I mean, there. This could be attributed to me just being when I was a child. But you know, my temper. Maybe I don't know that I attribute that to the military. But you know, learning the tools and the traits as far as being having to go to war. You know, learning how to fight. Knowing that your mission is to get the job done, and in some cases, and especially in like war, you know, your job, if you have to, you have to kill. Those kind of things I'm not going to teach my boys. Not something that I wanted to bring to them. Obviously, I learn how to protect myself. I'm aware of my surroundings. I'm naturally like that now, even though I only spent 4 years in the Marines. I'm still to this day aware of my surroundings. Those kind of things I attribute to my training in the military, and I've taught those areas, those kind of things to my boys, being careful of the things that they do and say, and just being aware of their surroundings. Those kind of things I've taught them. But as far as there were different things within the military that, yeah, I wanted to protect my family from, so I have to keep those kind of in check.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Thanks for sharing that, being
Yeah,
so open
absolutely.
about it. These are the kinds of things that so many of us just don't want to talk about, or don't even sometimes think to talk about or even ask about. So appreciate your willingness to share that. And so along those lines, you're sharing about some of the ways that you've taken your experiences and been able to kind of turn them into good ways of helping your boys become good men. Are there any, whether these are silly things or serious things, I don't know, but are there ways in which you've learned from the process of being a dad? What are some of the lessons where you've been challenged and had to kind of reevaluate yourself, your own behavior, and kind of learned through that process?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, Kevin. And there's many things that I've learned just in being a dad. Not only being a dad, but just in the things that I've learned as a person, growing up in the household that I grew up in. I grew up in an alcoholic family, and you know, my experience in the military. You know, we did. You know, like I said, they taught us how to drink. I mean, we military guys know how to drink, and I ca actually carried that into my family. And I was a pretty heavy drinker in my boys' early years, growing up. And because of my experience with my own parents being alcoholics, and then my time in the military, I realized that as a dad, I didn't want my boys to grow up in an alcoholic family. And I had to decide, I had to make a decision, what's better for me, and for my boys. The best choice for me is to stop drinking. So 13 years ago, I decided that was enough. I wasn't going to allow my boys to grow up in an alcoholic family. So I stopped drinking. I just made the decision. That's it. I'm done. I tell this story all the time because it's very personal to me, but it's very important. I found myself sitting in the time that I remember, I found myself sitting in my recliner and asking my oldest son to. He was about 10, to go get me a beer out of the fridge. And it was through that experience that kind of woke me up. I said, wait a minute, I'm asking my own child to go get me something that I'm addicted to. And I didn't want my son to continue down that path. So from that moment, I decided enough's enough. And so 13 years ago, I decided to quit drinking. And that was the, you know, to this day, my boys still, you know, they're grown adults now, and they still thank me for making that decision for them. And it's something that I'm very, very, very proud of. Something that I know that I made the right choice for me and for my family. Something that I decided to do. The other side of things is I've had, through my years, I've had a temper. And when my boys were younger, I've had to learn. How to, I still struggle with this a little bit today, but I've had to learn how to not overreact or react to things that they're reacting to. So if they've done something bad, when they were younger, they did something bad, I would respond immediately and get upset. And my wife was really good about keeping me in check, but she would tell me, hey, you need to go step aside, take a breather, let me handle it, and to allow me time to calm down. And so those kind of things I had to learn how to do, and those that took a lot of time and a lot of patience and a lot of practice. And then the other thing, the last thing that I'll tell you is being open to knowing when you're wrong. And that was something that I struggled with. And to be honest, it's something that a lot of men struggle with. They don't want to admit when, a lot of men struggle with not admitting when they're wrong. And this not only comes in our marriage, you know, admitting to your spouse, hey, I made a mistake. I'm wrong. I was wrong and I'm sorry. But I had to learn that to do those things with my boys, whether it was overreacting to a situation or, you know, whatever the case may be. I had to learn how to go back to them and say, listen, what you did there, I was disappointed in, but my reaction to what you did was inappropriate. And I'm wrong for how I reacted. And I want you to know that I apologize and I love you. Those are the things that I had to learn how to do. Those took time. For me, it was particularly difficult. And maybe it was attributed to some of the, some of the times that I was maybe drinking. Maybe those were, I mean, it could have been back in the time when I was drinking, but even more so then, since I stopped drinking, I've had to continue to learn how to do that. And yeah, I mean, it's something that a lot of men struggle with. So
Yeah, for sure.
admitting when we're wrong is and we have men have huge egos. So admitting when we're wrong is super, super tough for us.
Yeah. And I want to touch some more on that. You just shared a whole lot of amazing, very valuable stuff and very personal. And first, congratulations on ending getting rid of the alcohol in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
That's a huge thing. If I don't mind, I'm gonna, that sounded, I mean, in your mind, that was a very clear and a very precise moment of making that choice or that decision. I would assume that it didn't just stop, or for you, was it a quick stop, or was it a
Oh no,
difficult?
it was quick. No, when I made the decision, okay, this is it. I'm done. No more. That was the decision. And it's interesting because I've met a lot of people who have gone through sobriety, and I've had several people that have come up to me and said, how did you just make that decision? Because I made that decision too, but then 6 months later I was drinking again, or a year later I started drinking again. And then I've had to stop again since then. That was a hard stop for me. So that's something that I guess one of the things that I'm pretty good at. When I make a decision on something and I'm set on that decision, there's no turning back from that decision. So for me, it was a hard stop. I stopped and that was it. There was no hiccups. There was no, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's challenging times. I may be around family functions or at an event. People are enjoying drinks. Those feelings of wanting to have a drink will come up. But it's one of those non-negotiables that I just won't go to, because I know I go down that road and I have no idea where it's going to end up. And I don't want to even attempt to do that.
And so, I guess in this process of sharing what I guess might be called some of your weaknesses, this is clearly one of your strengths, is your it's just your just strength of mind when you're making a decision is it's just one of those things that, and I guess we don't always know where this comes from. Sometimes we have these, that's who we are, and that's we don't know how we got that way. It's just
Right.
one of the things we have. So that's great. I'll just touch briefly on the anger, because a lot of us deal with that, and also this admitting that we're wrong, because I've been doing that with my kids for years, and it's challenging enough with adults, but then to go to your child and say that you were wrong, and because I've had angry outbursts with my kids, and it just feels awful. So for you, on a sort of larger scale of dealing with that anger, was there some specific helps or processes that you went through? And was it a matter of looking, did you explore the reasons in the background, or how did you process that?
Yeah, I honestly, I attribute a lot of it to how I was raised. And that's how a lot of us experience the things that we go through as adults is based on the experience that we had as kids or how we were raised. My dad, more so than my mom, my dad was very hot-headed, had a temper, and I was raised in a tough household. So I attribute it to that. But as far as the process that I had to go through to learn how to keep that in check, a lot of it comes down to my awesome wife. She really helped me keep that in line. She, like I said, she there would be times where she would just say, "Hey, time out. Let me handle this. You're getting a little hot-headed. I understand you're upset, but let's take a break and let me handle it." So I do attribute a lot of my learning and growing through that to her. Without her, I don't know that I would still be trying to keep that under control. But there are some times where, and hey, maybe this may be something that you guys out there need to do, but there may be some time that you have to do some self-checking, and maybe that's through meditation or prayer. I don't know what it is for you guys, but for me, it was just kind of, I'm an avid runner, so I'd like to go for a run. And especially if I'm kind of feeling some intense emotions coming up, sometimes I'll just head out the door and I'll go for a couple miles and just get a run in to kind of allow my mind to just kind of calm down. So yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's not something that you can just kind of snap out of and take control of. You got to work at it. And as I said earlier, there's still moments where I have to catch myself to keep myself from getting to a certain point, even to this day. So yeah, it's a work in process. So it's something that you just have to continue to work at and monitor. And like I said, it may come through, maybe prayer, finding another activity that gets your mind off of it. Maybe it's meditation, maybe it's reading. I don't know what it is for any of the guys out there that may be listening to this, but for me, it was a lot of doing kind of self-checking. And for me, it was through prayer and meditation and finding other activities like going for a run. So it's something that you have to work at.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's really helpful to hear some of those steps and again how your relationship with your wife is playing into that whole process of being dad. And of course, your relationship with her and on its own is important too. So and then do you remember the first time that you actually apologized to your kids for something you did?
I can't remember a particular time, but I will say this. Our kids have to understand that our home, or the home that they live in, is supposed to be a safe space. And the more you show signs of anger towards them, the more they're going to run from that safe space, which is the home. And the less your bond or your relationship with them will weaken over time. And there'll be some resentment that will start to build. And the funny thing is, your kids will also learn that they don't know that they can come to you when they do have something on their mind, or something that they've unsure about, or something that they may have done and they want to let you know. So you have to keep that kind of that stuff in mind. But I do remember a time with my older son that I got, and I don't remember the age that he was, but I got pretty upset, and I was in his face and I was yelling at him, and he was leaning back. And he was leaning back to where he was cow almost like he was cowering. And I remember the feeling that he was having at that time. I remember having those same feelings with my dad. And I remember the times the experiences that I had with my own father, where he was so mad at me and I was cowering to him. You don't want to have those feelings. You don't want to have that happen, because that really upset me. Like, I don't want my kids scared of me. And I grew up being scared of my dad. And I didn't want my boys to have that. So your kids, your child, your son, your daughter, they have to understand that the home is a safe space. And we've tried to encourage our boys through all their years of growing up. We've tried to encourage them that we want you to come talk to us. We have an open door policy, right? We want you to be able to come and share with us things that it's on your mind or things that are bothering you. They may not be things that we may be happy about. We may be disappointed in you, but we still want you to know that we're always going to be on your team. We're going to be on your side, regardless of what you've done or didn't do. Yeah. And my boys understand that. To this day, my boys understand that. I just had my two boys on my episode a few episodes back, a few weeks back, from my 150th episode. I had my two boys on. And that was something that they shared that I was really, really cool that they understood that. And as adults now, they knew that that was the case in our household. And so, like I said earlier, it's something that I had to really learn how to control my anger towards them when they did upset me, something that I really had to work on and learn how to keep in under control. But yeah, it's, listen, your kids, the home that you raise your kids in is supposed to be a safe space. And you have to be the one that they can come to when they're hurting, when they're feeling something, or when they've done something, or somebody's done something to them. They want to be able to come to their parents and talk to them openly and not have the fear of upsetting them to a point where they get to a point where, you know, like I've done with my boys in the past, or my dad did to me. So just have to keep that in mind. It's so important.
Yeah. Yeah. That vulnerability is certainly one of the keys of building that safety. Absolutely. For them, for sure. So well done on that. I remember before I was ever married, even I was working as a youth pastor. And one of the things I did was I made this decision that when I had kids, I wanted to build such a relationship with them that even when they were teenagers, they would talk to me.
Right.
Whatever else was going on, I just wanted them to talk to me, because if they would at least talk to me, I would know what's going on. And now the journey of learning how to do that well and so on was a journey and a process, but that was always a priority to me. And I'm glad that you've been able to do that for your boys.
Yeah, we were very good about that as parents to our boys when they were younger. The bottom line is kids, when they're growing up, especially right before they hit those teenage years, they look up to you. They look up to their mom and dad as their heroes, as their idols, as their role models. They really do. Whether you think they do or not, they do. Trust me. When they hit those teenage years, they don't want to hang out with you. They don't want to hang out with mom and dad. They want to go be independent. Really the time that they start to develop that independence to figure out who they are as people. And they want to hang out with their friends, and they want to go do activities away from mom and dad to kind of show how they can be independent and grown up. That's what they want to feel when they're teenagers. But if you've built that relationship with them the way that you're supposed to before they hit those teenage years, at the end, towards the end of those teenage years, when they're adults, hit that 18, 19 year old range, they'll come back. And they're going to, like my boys, I say this all the time, my boys are two of my best friends. Because I built those relationships with them when they were younger. When they were teenagers, trust me, Kevin, they didn't want to hang out. As cool as I was,
oh yeah,
I mean, as cool who as their dad was, they didn't want to hang out with me. But you know, I obviously coached their sporting events and stuff. I coached their teams and stuff, so they were around me a lot. But they still didn't want to hang out with me.
Yeah.
But once they hit those 18, 19 year old range, they came back, and they're two of my best friends today.
Yeah. And that's actually, I really appreciate you sharing that part, because it is tough for a lot of us dads and moms to start to give them that freedom to go and do their own things, or we want to spend more and more, especially for us. It's like, oh, they're getting older. They're going to move out. I want more time with them.
Right.
But to let them go. But what I appreciate is you sharing that experience, how they pulled away, which is really a healthy thing, but with patience and giving them time, they come back. They didn't really leave, you know, in a negative sense, but
that's really
encouraging.
Yeah. Not in a negative sense, but you know, my boys always understood, as much as they didn't want to hang out with mom and dad when they were teenagers, they always knew that they could come to us for anything. We could talk to them about anything. We could ask them about their friends. I say this too, parents, you want your kids to be independent. They want to be independent. You're allowing that independence. That's fine. But you need to know who their friends are. And you need to know who their friends' parents are, because the parents of those friends will tell you the kind of friends that your kids are hanging out with. So I always knew the kids that my kids were hanging out with, and I always knew the parents of my kids that they were hanging out with, because I wanted to know who my kids were around, because they could be around some bad kids. And there were times where some couple of my boys hung out with a couple of people that were not the best guest character or person that they really should be around, and we had to kind of redirect them into other relationships. But yeah, it's they come back to you, and it's you just got to be patient, but allow your kids to have that independence. I want my boys to move out of the house as soon as possible. My youngest son's away at college right now. My older son, he works in corporate America. He's saving money right now, and he's living at home, and that's okay for the time being. But I want him out of the house. I want him to be on his own. I want him to do that, not because I want him gone. I don't want him gone. I want him as close to me as possible, but I want him to have the experience of being out on his own and living his own life. And so that's why he's saving money right now to do that. But yeah, I mean, I want my boys to be independent, because I know I have a strong enough relationship and a strong enough bond with them that I know that we will always have a relationship and be the friends, and I can give them guidance and support anywhere, anytime they need it. So super important to me.
Absolutely. Really appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
You mentioned some things I'd love to dive into, but I think we're going to start kind of wrapping up a little bit. There's one other question that we want to look at, and that is, how would you describe the most valuable lesson that you wanted your boys to learn from you, or if they haven't yet, maybe what is it you're still wanting to teach in terms of that most valuable lesson for them?
Most valuable lesson that I wanted my boys to learn was love and kindness. I wanted my boys to have love for the people around them, whether it was the family within their lives or their friendships. I wanted my boys to have that kind of love for those people, but I also wanted my boys to grow up to be kind. And the more that we can be kind to other people, the more it comes back to us. So those are the things that I wanted my boys to learn. My boys understood that very well, and they're like that today. So yeah, I mean, they're good dudes.
Yeah, awesome. Well done. So I asked you if you wanted to face some fun rapid fire questions, and I got a yes on that. So just for
Yeah,
kicks.
I hope.
Well,
I hope I don't mess this up.
that's the fun of it. It's not serious, but just for fun, as we kind of bring it to an end, I'm going to pick five questions that are just totally random and all over the place. One is, what place have you not yet visited that you really want to see?
Ireland.
Ireland, yeah.
I haven't been to Ireland. My wife and I have talked about it for the last few years, and to be honest, there was a time when COVID was still kind of running rampant, and the believe it or not, airline prices, right? They were real low because they couldn't get people to fly anywhere. We were tempted to buy tickets for the following summer, which would have been this past summer. We were tempted to buy tickets to go to Ireland, and the tickets were like $300 a person. They were stupid cheap. And my wife's like, maybe we should do it. But our fear was, because COVID was so back then when we were going to book these tickets, there was so much uncertainty in the world with COVID, that we didn't know that if we booked the tickets, if by the time our trip came, whether it would be canceled or not. So we ended up not doing it. We regret it. We should have done it, because we would have been able to go. But yeah, Ireland is something that a place that my wife and I both want to go to.
Okay, what's your favorite meal?
My favorite meal. Oh, that's a good question, because I like food. It's funny. I have people, if for whatever reason, I say this jokingly, but if I were to ever go to prison and I was on death row and I had my last meal, it would probably be candy. I'm a huge candy fanatic. I love candy. Anytime I can eat candy, I'll eat candy. But seriously, if I had to choose like a specific meal, I have two choices. Can I give you two?
Sure.
Okay. Steak. I love steak. So steak's huge for me. Anytime I can get a good steak at a nice restaurant, my wife and I go on date nights or whatever, we'll go to a nice steakhouse or something, and I grab a nice steak. The other is Shake and bake pork chops, homemade shake and bake. My wife makes homemade shake and bake pork chops that I just love. So yeah,
Awesome.
those are the two meals that I would go for.
And can you explain to us why Iceland is green and Greenland is covered in ice?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Okay. When was your first kiss?
Oh man, maybe I shouldn't say this.
Yeah, we don't want to get anyone in trouble, but.
I will say that I had I was probably 11, 10 or 11, and I had a babysitter that was like 14, and she gave me my first kiss. Is that should I mean, I don't know if I could say that.
We don't
Yeah,
know. There's no
I had a
names.
14, yeah, I had a 14-year-old babysitter. I couldn't tell you her name or anything, but I had a 14-year-old babysitter who gave me my first kiss.
There you go. Can you name the seven wonders of the world?
No.
Or make up your own?
Can you?
No. That's why I'm asking
No, I
you.
can't. I can't.
No problem. Thanks. That's fun. Well, I really appreciate this, Brian. It's been great talking with you, and so many great lessons and things to be learned from your experience. And of course, we realize that, it's not the same for all of us, but because we all have different experiences, there's so many guys that are going to be able to learn and get great ideas from how you manage to work through things and your perspective. So thank you so much for sharing all of that and being so open and having some good fun with us here. We really appreciate that. And your suggestion for people to reach out to you really was to go to the Linktree. We're going to put this in the podcast notes.
Kevin, if they go to my Instagram, my Linktree's in my bio,
Right.
and my Linktree just has all my links to all my different things. But the main place that they can reach out to me or send me a message or whatever would be Instagram. I'm most active on Instagram at DadUpPodcast. That's my Instagram handle. And like I said, in my bio is that Linktree that you're talking about that has all my links to my YouTube and the different podcasts. I was on CNN last year for the show, and that's in there as well. But yeah, Instagram is the best place to reach me.
Awesome. Appreciate that. And I was going to say, I appreciate on your Instagram that you pop up every once in a while you're doing your run, and appreciate that encouragement because I'm also trying to keep myself healthy and fit. So seeing you do that every once in a while is, oh yeah, I should go for a run too.
Yeah, it's
Done.
just I'll be out running, and things will pop in my mind about something that I should talk about or share, and so I'll do a quick video. But yeah, it's I do that every once in a while.
So I really highly recommend the Dad Up podcast, honestly, not just because
Thank you.
Brian is here, but actually I asked Brian because, well, I think we met first through Clubhouse, but listening to the Dad Up podcast has been entertaining and encouraging and informative, a really great one to listen to. So I really encourage you all to add that to your list for your weekly input and reach out and share with Brian. He's always been a very helpful and open guy from the first time I met him on Clubhouse. That was very clear. So
Thank
thank
you.
you again so much for everything you're doing and putting yourself out here to help the rest of us and grow together. So thank you guys all so much for listening with us and being a part of this. You can also reach out to me through the links at the bottom of the site. And always, we are both open to talking and sharing with people. So please feel free to reach out and don't be alone in anything that you're going through, even if it's a small thing. It doesn't have to be a big thing, but share with other guys. Open up, look, ask for help when you need it, because we don't want to leave anyone behind. We want to work together. It's a good thing. And the benefits of, as Brian was saying, that although it's difficult to apologize, it may be difficult to ask for help. After you've done it, it's just so much better. The encouragement and the helps that you get, life just gets better as you work together with people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Kevin, for having me on, man. I really appreciate it. I'm proud of you starting this journey. I'm looking forward to seeing how it grows and develops for you. But, for me, it was just something of my way of helping out other dads. And the more people that we have, more people like you that we have doing this kind of journey along with me, the better off dads will be. And not only dads, but moms as well, that will be for our kids, because they're our future. So we have to make sure that we're building them up the way that we need to.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. So that's it for this week, guys. I really appreciate you all joining us, and we look forward to talking to you again next week on the Legendary Dads Podcast. All right. We've taken another step towards that legendary dad status today, and I'm excited and honored to be part of this journey with you. Now, if you go to kevinwillspeak.com, you can book time to speak with me directly about any questions or comments you have. Or you can connect with me on social media or post in the comments below. Guys, I'm convinced that we all have what it takes. And if we work together, we can all become legendary dads.